Welcome back to the Footy Fix podcast. Yet another big week in the international break, but thankfully club football is back. Adam, do you feel absolutely exhilarated that we get to watch our favorite clubs now or what?
I do love to see the clubs come back. And you know, as an Italian, it's just nice for an heartache to end too, because I don't get to see us choke anymore. We're back to the clubs. So
that's very true. We did spend a lot of time talking about the heartbreak
just
and the loss
about
there.
It overall.
Absolutely. So the qualifiers are almost over. There are still some teams that are yet to qualify for Qatar 2022. But as it stands right now, the ones that were up in the air, the Portugals, the Italys, are all decided. And as we head into this FIFA 2022 World Cup, the groups are practically set. So, Adam, let's go through all of these groups, A to H. And let's get them out of the way. Let's get some way too early predictions happening, because I'm very excited about this. It's also
so
going to be weird.
Too.
I don't think we've acknowledged that this World Cup is going to be in November and December. Like let's break that down for a minute. That is a very, it's not only for the fans, is it like way worse than having it in the summer, but it's weird for the players. They're gonna start off in late August, September, and October, and then they're gonna have to go to Qatar, complete different time change, different times you're playing your games at, and play for the national team. So it's gonna be really weird. Another thing also is that, could you imagine the amount of money that Qatar must have paid the EPL, La Liga, Serie A to take their leagues out of commission for a month and a half? Mm. We are talking.
Yeah, probably pay a pretty penny for that.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, we're talking pretty penny. So the first group in Qatar, we have the hosts, Qatar, Group mm-hmm. A. We have Netherlands, Senegal, and who's
Ecuador.
The other one? Was the fourth one?
Ecuador.
Ecuador, right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so those four teams, who's qualifying, and give me the positions they'll be in.
All right, so I think if anybody does not have the Netherlands topping this group, I would like to ask them who supplies them with their drugs and how I can get them, because that must be some incredible stuff. I don't see any of these teams being able to step up to the Netherlands. I think Virgil van Dijk can probably run circles around everybody on both those teams, on all three of the other teams. Honestly, between Ecuador and Senegal for second place there, it's very hard to try and give you one. I think they play pretty
so?
Similar styles in terms of they need to be quick and they need to be hard on the counter, but because they're not necessarily that skilled, so they need to be waiting to catch other teams out.
But it's
honestly, this one you see Netherlands topping the group 100%, and then it's a toss-up between Ecuador and Senegal there.
I actually think the opposite of that. I think Netherlands are going to top the group. Yeah, because Netherlands always top the group and they always crash.
Yeah, no, not that, but I'm saying the...
But for Senegal, no, Senegal's got Edouard Mendy, they got Sadio Mane, they just won AFCON, they beat Egypt in the final, then they beat Egypt again, Mo Salah's not going to the World Cup, they beat him to go to the World Cup now, and I think Senegal, as one of the AFCON nations, debatably, well, I guess the title's theirs, they are the best African nation heading into 2022. Mm. I think that's an easy one. But I do see the threat that Ecuador poses. I understand that, because they are, you know, typically that's lower seeded South American team. However, they have, like every other South American team, loads of skill on their side.
And the one
other thing,
I was just going to jump in really quickly. Say the one like thing I'll give Ecuador a little bit over Senegal too is, yes, Senegal are the champions of Africa, but throughout the qualifying, Ecuador is going up against teams like Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Colombia, and even they finish better than Colombia and Chile. They have generally, historically speaking, Ecuador's not doing better than these nations that are considered football nations, like Colombia, like Chile. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So they also, the fact that they're playing against like Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay day in and day out during the qualifiers, I feel like that gets them ready in terms of playing against better opposition. So I think that Senegal, that's like the one little negative that they have, is that yes, they're the champions of AFCON, but you have to look at the competition within AFCON as well, compared to like South America.
Absolutely. And what about Qatar? Like, obviously understood they're the worst team in the group. However, Russia got out of their group when they hosted. Brazil got out of their group when they hosted. And as did South Africa. So the trend goes on. And as the Germany and before that.
So do you
see them doing like a crazy sleeper pick and kind of beating out Ecuador and Senegal? Or are they just going to bottom the group?
I think even like those teams that you named, maybe save South Africa, were still decent football teams, right? Like they were all like, they weren't as heavily unfavored or no, what do you call the opposite of a favorite in like betting?
Well, underdogs.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, my brain is dead right now. I apologize. Yeah, I'd like those other nations maybe save South Africa, and even South Africa wasn't really as heavy of an underdog as Qatar. You know what I mean? I think the one thing Qatar do have going for them is that the group is a little bit easier. But even then, I feel like that's not a great thing for Qatar because I think that the old adage of like playing up against teams, like no matter what, when you play against like an Argentina or you play against Portugal, like generally speaking, you see the little nations play up. Like we saw Macedonia do that to Italy as well, right? So I think that's maybe their only one like little saving grace they can have, but I feel like the odds are too insurmountable against them.
And I also see like we saw in Russia and especially Brazil, and also a big part of it was in South Africa, the home fans rallying around the home team. I don't think we're going to see that many Qatari fans
Home fans
voting for
in
their team.
Qatar,
I mean it might be a little far for me to say, however, we don't really regard as Qatar as a huge footballing nation, whereas we look at even the likes of South Africa, like you were saying, they do have a huge following in Africa as a whole due to AFCON. But so Group A set, I have Netherlands, Senegal. You have it's a toss up a second,
Honestly, I'm gonna just to be oppositional, I'm gonna take Ecuador.
yeah?
Just so you know, but just for, you get a little bit of that
Yeah, 100%.
variety.
100%. So let's move on to Group B. So
Yes, sir.
far we have England, USA, Iran, and then one of Ukraine, Wales, and Scotland. So before we get into who's finishing first and second, who's going to the knockout round, who's gonna qualify out of Ukraine, Wales, and Scotland, in your opinion?
My guess or my goal, or not goal, but Gareth Bale and Wales. I don't know what it is. He could be the worst player on the club level, and he puts on the Welsh jersey, and
Crazy.
he's back to 2012 when he did that run all the way down the sidelines in the Copa del Rey, when it literally just looks like he's out there playing for fun. You know what I mean? So I think that that's going to play a huge factor. And because it's a one-off game, like we saw it, the game they won 3-1, I can't remember who they were playing against, but the game they won to get into this position, two of the three goals, Gareth Bale.
And a beautiful
And one
free
of them was a
kick.
beautiful free kick. Yeah. So he just has that knack of showing up. And I think, honestly, if they make it through, if it is Wales that makes it through, I think they have a chance coming second in the group. I have England top in the group for sure.
Of course.
And I have, if Wales come through, Wales 2, the States 3. If Ukraine comes through, I'd see the States beating Ukraine.
You do, eh?
Yeah,
Wow.
I'd take, because I think that like Ukraine doesn't have anybody like a Bale, right? Like Ukraine's best player like that would be like Kano Kapuyanka in terms of like an offensive guy like that. You know
Well,
what I mean?
they got a lot of skill, and they're a good team unit. Like Yarmolenko is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
And so, and just for the sake of that, I actually picked Ukraine to go through, because I'm not only hoping for this fairy tale story to happen, I think it's going to happen. I think about all this that's going on in Ukraine with the Russian invasion. I think that when they get to that game in June, it's going to be more than just to qualify for the
A
World
game for
Cup. I
them,
think it's going to
fair.
be, you know what I mean? It's more than just a game at that point. I think they'll take that momentum, and I think they'll bring it with them. And I totally get it. Like Bale for wit for Gareth Bale, it's Wales, golf, Madrid in that order.
Yeah.
They made a flag about it.
No, 100%.
So that being said, when he is at the top of his game and he is performing to the best of his ability, he is one of the world's best. And we often forget about the extraordinary performances he's put in for Los Blancos over the years. However, I just think Ukraine, given the situation with everybody, like every neutral will be going for Ukraine for sure. And I think all that momentum could take them into the World Cup. And I believe that out of there, I think they'll take that second spot after England. And for me, that just comes down to the fact that USA have had an extremely poor qualifying campaign in Common Ball. And I don't know why. They have lots of good players. They have lots of
Talent, yeah.
skill. I can't. I remember a few months ago we were all talking about, "Whoa, look at USA! They got Pulisic, McKennie, Michael Bradley. They got Sergiño Dest. They got
Reina.
Zach Jose Reina from
Sorry, yeah.
Borussia, and they
The,
got
yeah.
the Zach Steffen, the keeper from City." So I
Yeah.
think that all the hype was around them, and then they got into qualifiers and they just didn't perform to their potential. And honestly, on a world stage like this, they could lose to England 5-0. Any of these teams could, but they could lose to England 5-0. They could face Ukraine, and Ukraine has far more European experience. They could beat Ukraine could beat the USA. So that those are my picks. And I don't have a lot of faith in the USA. And then Iran, great qualifying campaign, not up to that level. That's how I feel like
there's like one team in basically a group that's just kind of understood that like you did a great job qualifying and getting here. But like things aren't looking the greatest for you. Yeah, a little sorry. So yeah, I'm gonna go my group. I'm gonna say England and Wales. I'm gonna say a little UK domination, a little British Isle domination here.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna go England and Ukraine. So let's go to Group C now. Argentina, Mexico, Poland, Saudi Arabia. You know what to do.
I see Argentina topping the group. And because of the poor performances put on at the Euros, I understand that they have Robert Lewandowski, but the Euros showed us that he truly is only one man. And there truly is only so much he can do. I would take Mexico over Argentina. Or sorry, over Argentina, my Meja. I would take Mexico over Poland. I'd have Argentina in first place, Mexico second, and then Poland third in the group. I like Mexico. I think that they're always a very – maybe they didn't have a great qualifying campaign, but I feel like they're a team that's always in games. Even like in 2010, the World Cup against Netherlands, I don't think anybody even thought they had a right to be playing against Netherlands.
It was the penalty, the Robin dive.
It was
dive,
the diving that knocked penalty. Them out. Exactly, and that was the only thing that kept them out of that game. So it's just like, again, Mexico doesn't have any like huge, huge names. Like Hector Herrera is really the biggest name for me that comes out, or like Lozano. Yeah, like not huge names. But when they come in, like even like Jesus Corona, who plays for like Porto, or he plays in the in the Portuguese league. They're not huge names, but they come out and they play so cohesively and together as a unit. They always seem to do well at these world tournaments. Yes. So for that reason and that reason alone, yes, Robert Lewandowski is Robert Lewandowski, but again, one man can only do so much. Argentina top in the group, Mexico in second.
Yeah, I'm going to go the exact same thing with you. And for the reason that Mexico seemed to always do very well in World Cups, they always seem to exit out of the group stage. And with that being said, we never see Ochoa ever. Every 4 years, he pops back up and he plays like
every 4 years. He pops every up and he's got like a 20-minute highlight clip from
exactly,
just the World Cup.
Exactly. And it is, I love it, and I cannot wait
I
to see it.
Too.
Because
His
Mexico,
flow, oh my God.
Man, Mexico are one of the best teams, like the most entertaining teams to watch when it's World Cup time. Because they just, for some reason, they just turn it on, and they're just got a really exciting playing style, and it's really back and forth. There's holes everywhere, but Ochoa is the brick wall every 4 years. It feels like he's been around for, oh my goodness, 20 years, but
forever.
I never see this guy at club level, and then he pops up every 4 years at a World Cup and he plays out of his mind. But to Poland's point, I like what you said. Lewandowski is only one guy. And unlike those like Portugal teams of old before they won in 2016, where it was Ronaldo, Moutinho, and Pepe, and there was
the
three guys. No, we're talking like Lewandowski and nobody else. Like, I'm not trusting Milik. I'm not trusting Błaszczykowski. He is far too old now. And they got Szczęsny, but Szczęsny's spotty at times. You cannot lie as a Juve fan.
Oh, 100% inconsistent.
So I think that Poland is going to have to rely on individual brilliance from Lewandowski. And I think that given the group they're in, given how consistent Mexico is in the group in the group stages of the World Cup of old, and given the form of Argentina, I just think that Poland, like, again, you're not quite there yet. And like you said, the Euro, their really poor Euros campaign really kind of shed light on their issues as a team. In terms of Argentina, 30 games unbeaten, 20 wins, 10 draws. Lionel Messi obviously leading the way, but we got to give shout-outs to Angel Di Maria, Lautaro Martinez, and Giovanni Lo Celso. Other guys like that. Paolo, I don't know. He's not been there for a while, actually.
Yeah, I know. He's been injured for a lot of it.
He plays in the same
position.
And
anytime I
can
give that man some praise, I love to give him some praise.
Oh, 100%. But in terms of the team, like, you can say what you want about their qualifying campaign, and I've gone deep into it because I needed to see who they actually played in those 30 games. And it isn't as impressive as it may seem. Again, 30 games is a huge feat. But we got, once you look at it, there was about four or five games there. They played Germany one time. They drew Brazil, won twice against Brazil. So there was like four or five of those games where they were actually huge games and they were against really quality opponents. And the rest of them, you're facing teams that are outside the top 15, outside the top 20. So yeah, to bring that form into the World Cup is very important. However, you're going to be facing a lot tougher opposition once you get into the World Cup. And I think that Argentina might have a little slip up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if when they played Poland, Lewandowski and Messi just had a shootout, to be completely honest with you.
Well, that happened the last game of the Euros. Like, I can't remember if Poland drew or lost it, but Lewandowski scored 2 goals in that one. And they still, it was either 3-2 or 2-2 at the end of it. Yeah. So, like, Poland have shown that, again, Lewandowski can be out there trying, doing everything. But, like, what are you going to do if you cut off Superman's wings, you know?
Exactly. Maybe
he doesn't have wings, but.
Yeah, you know.
You get what I'm saying.
I get you. Let's move on to Group D. Fairly easy one to predict. France, Denmark, Tunisia, and I picked Australia to be qualified. Who did you go for?
Over Peru.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's a lot of competition in South American qualifying, and I don't think Australia really faces that much competition in terms of like New Zealand and the Oceanic countries.
I know, but I mean, looking at it, it's like Peru or Australia, like it's just
it's a toss-up, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless of who qualifies out of that, I still am saying France topping the group and Denmark coming in second.
There's nothing really to be said there, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say there's like no matter how much analysis or whatever we say, it's just kind of pretty shut, exactly. Shut and dry.
And no matter how many people say, oh, but look at the last, you know, 4 winners of the World Cup, they didn't get out of the group stage. Like, I'm sorry, this ain't happening. Like, it's just not going to happen. I would love to see it because France out of the World Cup at the group would just open. It would blow the whole tournament up. Like, that would be clearing the path for a lot of people, a lot of teams. But again, I don't see it. They're too well coached of a team. They have so many stars. And unless like they just get hit with the worst luck possible and injuries.
Unless lightning strike takes out 9 players on the team.
Yeah, and a collapse, this France are going to top this group.
Yeah.
So yeah, France and Denmark. Let's go on to the group of death where we have Spain, Germany, Japan, and I picked Costa Rica to qualify.
Yeah, I've got Costa Rica coming through there as well.
What order do you have them in?
See, this is a difficult one because for me, Germany should be your clear cut in terms of everything, in terms of like the skill that they have, the players that they have, how their players have been performing at their clubs. But I mean, last World Cup, you saw Germany actually, speaking of Mexico earlier, they lost to Mexico, they lost to South Korea,
yep.
And suddenly Germany's out in the group stages, right?
Yep.
So I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I think that if there's any nation that is going to learn from something like that and let something like that bother them for 4 years, it is Germans. No, because think of it, like you think about like perfectionism, you think about Germans, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
My dad,
for sure.
My dad has always said that to me. And thing, like I think that it has been eating them, all of them alive for the past 4 years. And you've got guys that are now coming into their own even more, like Goretzka, and the improvement he himself has made in the past 4 years, ridiculous. Kimmich, again. The improvement he's made in the past 4 years, ridiculous. Yeah. Serge Gnabry, ridiculous. Leroy Sané. These guys are just – Rudiger even is playing incredible too.
Yes,
like these guys are just – all they have been doing in these past 4 years is gaining more experience and coming into their own more, and it is scary.
Yeah.
So for that, I'm going to say Germany is going to top the group, and I am going to put Spain in second. I think Spain as well is another team where they're going to be an exciting team to watch, and I'm going to say because of Pedri. I love Pedri.
Yeah, I was going
to
get in.
His goal he scored for the 1-0 win for Barca this weekend.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And I
love watching
2.0.
He is. Yeah, no, he is. But I think he's like maybe a little bit better shooting than Iniesta, I'll say. Iniesta was maybe a little bit better at passing. Yeah, sorry, not better at shooting.
Let me rephrase that.
Iniesta was more like always trying to find the pass per se. Whereas I see this guy, Pedri is more, he looks like more of a shoot first midfielder. Like he seems like more of a shoot first type of guy, where I feel like Iniesta was not always a shoot first. Iniesta was looking around for people.
Yes. Yeah. That I agree with you on that. And I think that he's
not like, that he's a better shooter. Yeah. Sorry. Let me
you got to put him in. I think honestly, right now you got to put him in the same category as Mbappe and Haaland. I'm willing to make that leap.
Oh, in terms of like wonder kids,
wonder kid level. I would put him in S tier because
I'd put him in third though. Like I think he's definitely behind them, but he's up there.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, again,
chance to,
these are two different, they're three different players. I mean, we're talking about the two of them that can score 60 goals for you in a calendar year, and then the other one that can do like 30 and 30. So they're different players. It's just taking
same
who fits your system better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I actually had Spain in first. And I had Spain in first because I look at how leaky the defense of Bayern Munich has been this year. And
that's fair.
And I get that Rudiger is having, again, he's been over the last year or so under Tuchel at Chelsea, he's emerged as one of the top five center backs in the world, I would say, even as it's not even a stretch at this point, because he's really performing to that level. You can look at that with the goals that Chelsea have conceded, like 6 in 20 games in the Champions League. But regardless of that, it's only one guy. And I look at, you know, if Kimmich decides to not play at the right back, then who are you going to put in there? And you got Gosens, but then it's a weak at that one flank. And I do think that Germany are a spectacular team. They do concede a lot. And what do Spain do? They don't concede a lot. We saw that throughout the entirety of the Euros campaign. And in addition, Spain are very, very well coached. Luis Enrique is a fantastic coach. Honestly, at this point, it's 1A and 1B. But for me, the form that David De Gea is in right now, hopefully he can carry that over next season. The form that Pedri's in, the youngsters like Gavi, like Ansu Fati, like you're going to have experience in that back line now because you got Laporte, then you got Pique. I just think that as a unit, Spain are a better team right now than Germany. As individuals, Germany have far more superstars than Spain does. But to that point, I do see Spain topping the group. But I also want to get in like how that might happen. I don't think Spain is going to beat Germany. I think Costa Rica is going to take some points off these big teams in this group.
I think I can see that as well.
I think we might see a draw. We might see a draw against Spain or Germany where it's like Keylor Navas is standing on his head way back in 2014.
Yeah, I was going to say the 2014 when I swear they beat Italy.
I don't know who is Italy, but they went to the quarters and they got there by, and Keylor was known because of the penalty shootout. Yeah. The crazy, crazy penalty shootout. All right. So Spain and Germany, Spain, same thing. Moving on to Group F, our country, Belgium, Canada, Croatia, and Morocco. Give me the order and make sure to include the nation.
I'm going to let a little bias in here. A little nationalism, but I'm going to have Belgium topping the group. Yep. I feel like that is pretty pretty done and dusted.
Yep.
Got Kevin De Bruyne. You got Romelu Lukaku. You just got a bunch of players. You got Thibaut Courtois, who's actually returned to Atletico Madrid form.
What happened to Thibaut?
Yeah, he's playing ridiculous. Honestly, all you need on that team is Kevin De Bruyne. And, like, he's going to run the midfield for every game. Except the Croatia, that's going to be an interesting game in terms of midfield mashups, watching Modric versus De Bruyne. Because it's kind of like the passing of the crown of, like, I think that Modric for a little bit there was a consensus just best midfielder in the world.
Oh, and easily, yeah.
I feel like he's passing that off now to De Bruyne, because I think De Bruyne now, if you ask any manager what midfielder would you sign right now, they'll tell you Kevin De Bruyne. Second place, like I said, so I was talking to my roommate the other day. This guy named Ben. We were talking about the Croatia Canada game, and you know what? I do believe him that there is a chance that Canada can beat Croatia. And it's with that in my head that I'm going to say Canada's going to come second in the group and we are going to see an upset of catastrophic proportions. but no, I do agree that if Alphonso Davies, if Jonathan David, Kyle Larin, everyone is out there playing to their maximum potential, I think that we honestly could beat Croatia.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a chance to beat Belgium. I think we can beat Morocco as well. But it really just comes down to that. Whoever wins the game between Canada and Croatia is going to be second.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that one. And I just think that the number one goal of this Canadian team is to not lose against Belgium over like 4-0 or 5-0. Like, just don't get blown out. Lose that game. Because they're gonna lose it, but lose it 1 or 2-0.
Lose it with
3-0. Lose it with grace. Don't shaft your goal differential.
Yeah.
Go into the game against Morocco, obviously a must win. And then I think with Croatia, I think you just hope for the best performances, like you said, like MVP performances, Ballon d'Or performances from David, Davies, Kyle Larin, Tajon Buchanan, Hutchinson in the midfield. You just hope that they can exploit Croatia's old age. Because this Croatia team, 3-4 years ago, we would not be saying this. 2 years ago, we would not be saying this. But now we look around the team, and the only world beater they have on that team is Luka Modric. And still, at 36, we saw versus PSG, he completely ran the game. And he can still do that. And if he decides to do that, it's going to be very hard for Canada to win. However, everybody around that else around that team is aging. Rakitic, aging. Their center back, Vida, he must be like 56 years old by now. I don't recall them having a great goalie. You have guys like Kostic and Rebic up front, very inconsistent. Mandzukic is far too old to be in that team. So for me, I think this is like the perfect time for Canada to be playing this Croatia team. I think it's a winnable game. It's not only tieable, or it's only up for a draw. They can win this game. They can win this game, and they can go to the knockout stages, as crazy as it may sound. But I think this is the perfect time to play Croatia, man, to be honest with you. And it's the end of an era for them. And it's too bad they didn't win anything, but that's how she goes. Ask Belgium about those problems, man. Belgium. They have made nothing. They've done nothing with this golden generation.
I have a petition now. Davies and David, we got to call them the Double B.
Double D.
The Double D is going to come get you. Think about that. Davies and David. I mean,
it's perfect. It fits. Hey, shoe fits.
Yeah, if the shoe fits, you got to wear it.
Let's move on to group. Let's move on to Group G.
Yep.
Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. Who do you got?
See, this is a tough one too, because like Brazil, I have taken the group.
Yep.
Coming in first, but these other three teams, I call this one like group of death B. You know what I mean? Like group of death light. Because I think that they're not maybe as like conventionally like well known, but Switzerland is always a class team. You always see them do well at the Euros, and they generally are making it out of the group stages of World Cups as well.
Yeah,
Serbia are another good team, and Serbia, great. Very good team, and they got Serge Milinkovic-Savic, who is still playing incredible. He's coming up here too. Vlahovic as well. A little Juventus shown out there.
Dusan Tadic from Ajax, bro.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. And then Cameroon is no nation to shake a stick at either. Aboubakar, he's a good thing. Plays for Porto. Nice player in the Portuguese league. But you know who else they have? They have Joel Matip at center back. That's what I wanted to say. For all of the shtick that he gets, he is actually a decent center back, and this season as well has been playing well. So I think that he is going to be a big my brain just died right there. Big factor. And the other factor is Onana is their goalie as well. And we saw him in the Champions League run, how well he played. Yes. So that's what I was saying, that this is like the group of death light, because it's not as aggressive as the group of death, but those three teams in terms of Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon all have like two or three solid players and then a bunch of role players, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a toss up personally, but that being said, I'm going to take Serbia out of the group, and that is because of our boy, the Juventus man himself, Vlahovic. I think that when it's teams like this where you only have, you know, like two or three good guys, those games are going to be low scoring games. And so I'm going to go with Serbia because I'm most confident in their ability to score goals.
Yeah. I'm
most confident in Dusan Tadic scoring more than Eric Choupo-Maxim. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like after what he did, the wide open PSG missed goal, you know, but so I have Brazil coming first and Serbia coming second.
I'm the same as you. And I'm saying that I love Switzerland. I love how they beat France in the Euros. It was great to see. However, we have to remember that Serbia won the qualifying group and beat out Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was their group. And every time I watch the Serbia-Portugal games, they gave Portugal a very, very tough time when they played them. And you can call the missed goal when it crossed the line, still ended in a draw. They still went into Porto, and they still won on a 90-minute goal to qualify for the World Cup directly. And for Serbia, the important thing is they have depth right down the middle of the field. They got Vlahovic, who's your traditional striker. You got Dusan Tadic, who's more of a cam or center forward. And then you got Milinkovic-Savic right in the middle of the park. Not to mention you got Luka Jovic. So this team has depth.
I forgot about Jovic,
Yeah, man. They got incredible amounts of skill. And that's the thing. That's what it's going to take to play second in this group. It's going to take match winners. And between Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon, Serbia have far more match winners than the other two. And I think, like, we're going to see, again, a lot of tight games, right? A lot of 1-1s, a lot of 0-0s. And who's going to put the ball in the back of the net? If Dusan Vlahovic has a wide open shot, he'll take it. He'll most likely score. If Tadic has a wide open shot, he'll most likely score. If Milinkovic-Savic gets a header in the box, it's going to go in the back of the net. And that is what is going to bring them into the knockouts. And to be honest, if they do make it to that stage, they are a team to watch out for when it comes to the round of 16. Our last group, Group H, consisting of Portugal, Uruguay, South Korea, and Ghana. Yep. What do you got? Make her quick.
All right. Portugal's coming first in the group. I cannot wait for the Ghana-Uruguay rematch. And for that reason and that reason alone, I have Ghana going second in the group. I hope that Luis Suarez is about to score a goal. Someone handballs it, and then he hits the post on a penalty. And then I hope that Ghana comes marching down the field, scores an injury time winner, and then takes off their shirts, and I'll throw them on Luis Suarez. I don't know. But no, I definitely want to see a little bit of retribution for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that. So wait, so who's your second? It was Portugal.
Second is Ghana. I'm saying Portugal's
Ghana.
Yeah, I'm Ghana over Uruguay. I'm telling you.
Très intéressant, sir.
I'm saying because of what happened in 2010. Like, just whoever your god is, he's gonna be with them, and he's gonna make sure that they beat Uruguay.
That's fair. That's. I mean, I'm very excited to see that matchup too. And it's funny because you follow a lot of football meme accounts on Instagram, and they're all talking about this and how it's gonna like play out. And I imagine there's even though it was like what from 2014 or 2010. It's a long time ago.
South Africa, the Jabulani.
12 years ago, like there's still a lot of bad blood there. I would still be, I'd be so mad.
Well, that was the first time an African nation made the Final Four or the semifinal. Sorry.
Was it semis at Uruguay? No,
it was the quarterfinal game. If Ghana won, they would have become the first ones to qualify. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. With that being said, honestly, I still got Uruguay. I got Portugal.
Uruguay's a better team. I'm here for the dreams.
Yeah. I'm here for vibes, and that's it, man.
Yeah, man.
I got Portugal coming first. I don't think that's pretty.
Ronnie's not gonna let himself get knocked down the group stages of his last World Cup.
No dice. And I think Uruguay is coming in second. I think between Portugal and Uruguay, it's gonna be an interesting game.
Yeah, it'll be a good game to watch.
But I think they'll take it. I think Uruguay are gonna come in second. I got South Korea, Hong Min Sung in South Korea coming in third.
Yes, sir.
I got Ghana at the bottom, unfortunately. I'm not thinking about the dreams today. I'm just thinking about the logic.
I'm thinking about all the dreams of my other Guyanese people. So not Guyanese, Ghanaian.
so to wrap it all up, Group A, we had Netherlands and Senegal or Ecuador qualifying. For Group B, we had England, Wales/Scotland. Group C, we had Argentina, Mexico. Group D, France, Denmark. Group E, Spain, Germany, Spain. Group F, Belgium, Canada. Group G, Brazil, Serbia, and Group H, Portugal, Ghana/Uruguay. So what's interesting about here, and this is the last thing we'll have before we end it off, is that if Argentina and Portugal win their groups respectively, Messi and Ronaldo could meet in the final of the World Cup because they'll be on opposite sides of the bracket. So that is what I'm hoping
for. We can dream, eh? We can dream.
That would be the biggest sporting event in history.
That would break every record.
It would break the internet, everything. The stream. Like, it would just be crazy. Anyways,
and then when Ronaldo wins it, he becomes the undisputed GOAT. That's all I wanted to throw in there.
Thank you, sir. Anyways, man, let's wrap it up.
Yep. That has been a great episode today. Very educational, if I do say so myself. For the footy picks, I've been Adam Bazana with my boy Ben Botello. Have a lovely night, guys.